Amen. So make sure you grab that this morning and put it to where you can read it. When you get a prophetic word, a personal word, keep it before your eyes and bring it to your remembrance. Amen. It's good. I was thinking about what God was speaking to me personally this year. And I know a year ago, this past early fall, God began to speak to me about the word favor. And I grabbed a scripture and I ran with it, how the favor of the Lord surrounds the righteous. And everything at the first of the year didn't look like the favor of God. It's been pretty rough around my house the last couple of years. But in the midst of everything going on, I continue to see the favor of God. God may have given you a specific word this morning, but the word he's given me, I want to share it with you, and I know it's going to bless you. And I was telling Kenny, I said, Pastor wants us to pray about getting a word for the year and share it with him. And so he was saying, well, you know, what's the word, you know, you think God's given you? And I said, the word soar in 2014. And I said, I feel like that's what God's speaking to my heart. And he said, well, that word don't rhyme with 2014. I said, well, honey, the word don't have to rhyme to make it anointed and to make it from God. So I thought, well, if you want, he said, well, why don't you say soar in 1:4? So I said, okay, so if you feel like that's what you need to say to make it more anointed and sound better, you can say soar in 1:4. So that's what we're going to say, amen? We're going to say it's time to soar in 1:4. Put a little rhyme to it there. Hallelujah. So the definition of soar is to become more intense, to increase, or to rise above. Intense meaning passionate. It means enthusiastic. So what I sense God is saying to us in this season, this particular time, I want you to begin to stir yourself up again. Become enthusiastic, become excited, become passionate, what I have said concerning your life. Amen? Because we can go through things, and then after a while, we just feel like we're just going along. Just going to work, doing what we do every day. And we're just like that train. I think I can make it. I think I can make it. I think I can make it. And then there comes a time when God says, okay, it's time to regroup and to rethink and begin to remember what my word says. Begin to remember the dreams that you had and the prophetic words you had. Amen. And become passionate and intense and enthusiastic and excited about what I'm saying. And about what I want to do in this season. So become more intense, more passionate about my word. A word that is already established in the heaven. Believe in something that's already done. Amen. Just get that word to manifest in the natural. So if we're to soar in 1:4, then we're to put ourselves in remembrance of what God has to say and what he has said and what he is saying. Because, you know, God's a talking God, and I believe he's talking to us all the time in one way or the other, through a billboard sign, through something you've heard on the radio. God is always communicating with us, and very few people see writings on the wall. Very few people have visions. Amen? So we've got to say, okay, that's God talking to me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for talking to me through that billboard or through that word of that song or something. Amen? So always have an ear to hear that God is speaking to me. Hallelujah. He wants to communicate with you. He wants to talk to you because you're his child. You wouldn't want to have been raised with a father and mother that never said anything to you. And if you have been, God can restore. Amen. So if we're going to soar in 1:4, we're going to have to put ourselves in remembrance and in position of what God has to say. And one thing you have to know is that you are not a bag of flesh and blood hanging over some bones. That's not the real you. That's just what you see here. But the real you is the spirit. Amen. Amen. The real you is a spirit that is alive and that is breathing because you are a spirit first and foremost. And if you are born again, you know why you're so excited? Remember a long time ago when you got saved and all at once it was just like, oh my, you couldn't wait to tell everybody something had happened to you. You were clean and fresh and you were just so excited about it. Well, what happened is your spirit got reborn again and you got connected to the one that created you. That the one that says you're supposed to be here. I don't care how your mom and daddy got together. If you are here and you are breathing, you're supposed to be here. Glory to God. And now you are connected back to me. The one that gave you life. And your life is about to change. Amen. Glory to God. So you are a spirit first and foremost. So if you are born again, the spirit man has been rebirthed. And now you are connected to the one that gave you the breath of life. You are a living, breathing creation of an almighty God that stood out on the darkness of time one day. And like I said, he's a speaking God. And when he spoke, something happened. And that same spirit, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, whoo, is also in you to quicken you. Hallelujah. So when you speak, everything that's dead around you has to come to life. Glory to God. Whatever's dead around you has no choice but to live. Amen. Glory to God. Well, that was the next thing I was going to say in Romans 8:11. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life, quicken to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. And if you are not born again here, and or you're listening and you're not born again, today's a good day to get connected back to one that created you. Because until that happens, your life has no purpose. It has no meaning. It has no rhyme or reason. Amen. Some of you may think you're losing, that you have lost, and here it is another year and about to come to an end, and what you know that God has said is not manifested yet. It is only the year in our timetable. With God, there is no time. He is time itself. So don't think it as the end of something, but the beginning of something new. So if you come to the end of this year and you believe God for something and it has not happened, and you just knew that it was going to happen, don't get discouraged. It's a beginning of something new. It's a new season, a new opportunity. Hallelujah. Never think it's the end of something, but the beginning of something. Amen. So I've come to tell somebody this morning that the devil is a liar. The Bible says that no weapon in Isaiah 54:17, no weapon, the Bible says, is formed against you'll prosper. And every tongue, there it goes about us speaking again, every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall show to be in the wrong. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This peace, righteousness, security, I feel like a Pentecostal this morning. This peace, this righteousness, security, triumph over opposition is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Those in whom the ideal servant of the Lord is reproduced. This is the righteousness or the vindication which they obtained for me. This is what which I impart to them as their justification, says the Lord. The Bible says that no weapon that has been formed against you this year was going to prosper. That means you've not lost. That means that you're not on the losing end. No weapon, no matter who it is or what it is. The Bible says it will not prosper. Now, I like that word prosper. That word prosper means succeed at reaching its intended purpose. You hear what I said? No weapon that the enemy has formed against you shall succeed at reaching what he intended it to do. Now, what is the weapon intended to do? The Bible says the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's the purpose of the weapon that the enemy has formed against you. But Jesus said, I have come that you may have life, enjoy life, and have it in abundance to the full till it overflow. So the purpose of the weapon that has been formed against you is to stalemate you, is to keep you in bondage, is to keep you from being what God has said is you can be and what God said is yours. Amen. As his child, is our covenant relationship with you. The weapon may not be in the form of physical death, but what about the dream you had? Or as I said earlier, the prophetic word that was spoken to you that's not come to fruition yet. Begin to speak life to that thing again. Begin to say, it shall live and not die. I shall prosper. Amen. The weapon against me shall not succeed at reaching what the enemy meant for it to do. Woo! Did you hear what I just said? Ha ha ha. Glory to God. If that don't do something to you, your fire's wet. Hallelujah. No weapon, brother, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. I don't care what they have said. Hallelujah. You are and can be a man of God because he's destined you for purpose. Amen. He's destined you for greatness. And he says to rise up that this is your season and this is your year to get connected back to the one that created you and begin to speak forth his word, what he says about you and not what others has defined you as. You're only defined by what God's word says you are. And you are a mighty man of valor. Hallelujah. You are a mighty man of destiny, and you are a mighty amen, a purpose. And he says to rise up, O man of God, and begin to claim what I have promised you. Even the things I have spoken to you in secret that you said it cannot be. But God says it can, it shall, to grab a hold of my word and to begin to run with it like you were on fire, because the fire of the Holy Ghost is going to set you free in the name of Jesus. I decree and declare over that in you and your household shall be saved in the name of Jesus. Amen. Oh, shatore babakosa hama mabataya. Oh, datasatare bakino sondododoya ananaya. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He wants to form a weapon against you to steal your marriage, to steal your children, your job and your health, the prophetic word. And he does it in subtle ways. And God says, I want you to begin to learn about the word soar. And I want you to take it, and I want you to run with it. And I want you to rise up with it in this coming year. Hallelujah. For this is a new season, and the winds of revival are blowing. And it's time to grab a hold of what God is saying. Hallelujah. And begin to do it, to be what he says that you begin to do. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Help me, Jesus. So the Holy Ghost has come to remind us that we can soar above those things. One of the definitions of soar is to increase. Amen. And to rise above. The way to soar is with the word of God coming forth out of your mouth. Hallelujah. Stirring the spirit. Stirring that spirit, man. Becoming passionate again about what God has said. Hallelujah. Knowing that the spirit supersedes the natural. That's whatever dead in your ear around you has to come to life. It has no choice when you begin to speak the word of God. Those things in the natural has to succumb to those things of the spirit, because that's the real thing. That's the real deal. Amen. So those words came to me, the word soar. S means seated. O, overcomers. A, attitude. And there's the final word, R, which means to rest. And that's the one that we have some not got to yet, is learning to rest in the promises of God. Amen. So when it talks about this word seated, it says Ephesians 2:6, when you're born again, or when you're born again, accepted Jesus for your, as your Jesus Christ. I got to slow down. The Holy Ghost. So when you are born again, accepted Jesus Christ, your salvation, you are now bought into a different position. Amen. You are brought into a different position. You are now one with Christ at the right hand of God. Amen. He's made you one with him. Ephesians 2:6 said, and God has raised us up. Say, God has raised me up and seated me with Christ in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Amen. You are seated. You already are. You don't have to exalt yourself. It's not something you work for. You accepted Jesus Christ and you're seated. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So what does it mean to be seated in that position? You now not only have a heavenly view, and things always look better from a heavenly view, amen, but access to what is in the kingdom of God. You now have access to appropriate the kingdom of God here in this earth. That's why dead things have to live, amen? So how do we access the kingdom of God through this kingdom position that we are now in? Matthew 16:19 says that we've been given the keys to the kingdom. When you're given keys, that means you are given authority to access something. Someone hands you the keys to your house or your car. You're said, go in, make yourself at home. What's mine is yours. You can come and go as you please, because now you have the keys. Amen. So we've been given authority. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And it says, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Back to talking again. Back to speaking again. Amen. So when we set our mind on things which are above and not things on the earth, we bring what is in the kingdom down to earth and make it part of our life here on this earth. Part of my salvation is not a ticket to heaven to keep me out of hell. Part of my salvation is life, and life more abundantly while I'm here on this earth.
I don't know about you, but I need some help now. I need some healing now. I need some prosperity now. When I get to heaven, it's all going to be good. Amen. So part of your salvation is bringing what is in the kingdom into this earth now and accessing it, the keys to the kingdom. So we have it down from a seated position. So we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to be healed and to be prosperous and to be whole and to live a life on purpose. We have it now from a seated position, exercising the authority that has been given to us in a covenant relationship with Jesus Christ. He's just waiting for somebody to believe him, to grab a hold of his word and begin to speak what's in here and watch it come to pass here. Part of the weapon the enemy wants to form against you is to keep you shut up. Amen. It's to keep you quiet. Amen. So that it says, exercising the authority of the word and whatever is contrary to what God says is ours as part of the covenant with us. Soar above by knowing you are already seated and have been given the keys to the kingdom. Amen. The next letter in soar is O. Oh, and the word overcomers came to my mind. So we must move from a survivor mentality. I barely get by. Thank God I made it another day. But I dread tomorrow. If it was like today, I don't want more to come. Amen? So we must move from a survivor mentality to an overcomer mentality. Bible says we are now overcomers in this life. You may not feel like you've overcome, but you have. By faith, amen. So we settle to less than what God says is ours. We settle to a barely get by spirit. Overcome in the Greek means to prevail. It means to pass over. It means to gain the victory. So we don't be able to say I'm a survivor, but I'm an overcomer. Amen. I'm an overcomer. I have gotten through the victory through Jesus. We say the word survive. I feel like it's something that we say the word survive. It feels like we're saying something I have that I don't get over something, you know, that I'm just a survivor, that I really haven't got over it. Amen. But you are an overcomer. An overcomer through Jesus Christ. And you got to understand that since you're already an overcomer, that you don't have to do anything to obtain it. It's already been obtained. Because you can obtain something in the flesh. Amen. You can get something by the flesh. And you have to maintain it by the flesh. And you wear yourself trying to maintain something that God said shouldn't have been yours all along. But when you get it by the Spirit, and God says it's yours, hallelujah. You can maintain it by the Spirit. And it's not a weary, it's not a dread, and it's not a drudge. Because the Spirit of the Lord is there to give you strength to overcome. Amen. So that word says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. In the world, the Bible said, you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And if Jesus has already overcome the world, when he was seated with Christ and on the cross he said it was finished, that means it's finished for us too. And you are an overcomer, hallelujah. You are an overcomer. 1 John says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? So if you've not been born again, you cannot overcome in this life, nor are you going to overcome in the life to come, because you're not going to be there, amen? Even Jesus told Nicodemus, I say to you, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And when I read that, I thought, that's just not talking about us dying and going to heaven. That's talking about us seeing the kingdom of God here on this earth. That's not having a barely get by survivor mentality. That's seeing the kingdom of God in this earth by saying that I'm an overcomer now. I don't have to wait till I get to heaven to overcome all this. I am an overcomer now. 1 John 4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Amen. So if you've been born again, you have already been made an overcomer. We've been given the victory through the blood of Jesus. We're to live and walk in the light of that victory. Revelation says, back to speaking again, Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Amen. To soar above is to believe that you are already an overcomer. I'm not here just to survive, but I'm here because I've overcome. Amen. So we have to get from stop from having a survivor mentality and to have an overcomer's mentality. And that brings us to the next letter in SOAR, A. And we're going to talk about attitude. Attitude's a lot like influence. Like I said on Wednesday night, you're going to be an influence whether you want to be or not. You're automatically going to be influencing for the bad or for the good. You're automatically going to have an attitude one way or the other. So it's your choice as to what kind of attitude you're going to produce during the day. Amen? Attitude is an outward behavior expressed by an inner feeling. You know, you can't have a sour face and talk negative and be singing an old happy day in your heart. Because what's in there is going to come out, whether you want it to or not. Amen? So airplanes, and I preached this one time on attitude, and I thought it was so interesting. I read this in John Maxwell's book. I think it was John Maxwell, about attitudes. Airplanes have a manual, and they train their pilots on what they call attitude indicators. And pilots are constantly looking at the monitors and adjusting things, working with things, and turning knobs because they've got to get that plane's nose to a certain way in order to go to the horizon that they want to go. And it indicates the performance of the altitude of the plane. So they call it attitude performance. So pilots are concerned about the attitude of the airplane because that indicates its performance. And we have been given an attitude manual as Christians, as sons and daughters of God, and it's called the Bible. Everything is written in here tells you what kind of attitude to have. Your attitude should not be based on what's going on around you because you already know you've been seated. You already know that you're an overcomer. So your attitude should be performing according to what you know to be of the truth, which is the Word of God. Amen? So Paul tells us in Philippians, have this mind, or another word it means attitude, in yourself, which also is in Christ Jesus. So if you want to know what kind of attitude that Jesus had, look at his life. Read the Gospels. Find out how he reacted to people and what he did and what he said. Amen. Let this mind, let this attitude be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. So how are you viewing life? You should be viewing life from your seated position with Christ, which is a heavenly view, a kingdom view of what life should be on this earth. Amen. So do you have a Limburger cheese attitude? Have you heard that story? I can't exactly remember how it went, but there was this grandpa and the grandkids or something came in and kept putting cheese under the grandpa's nose. And finally he woke up and smelling the terrible smell of Limburger cheese, which apparently smells really bad. And the grandpa said, what's that stink? And he gets up and he starts walking around and he's still smelling. He walks outside and still smelling. He said, the whole world stinks. And sometimes we have days like that where the whole world is just stinking and everybody around us is stinking. Amen. But God doesn't want us to have an attitude like that. But he wants us to have an attitude, the mind of Christ, and the attitude of what Jesus said. And that is what it performs us and gives us the place that God wants us to be. And the last word in SOAR is rest. One word that we all need to come to understand and to appropriate in our lives is learning to rest in God. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle, meek, and humble, lowly in the heart, and you will find rest, relief, ease, and refreshment, recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls. That's Amplified. And I love the Message Bible version of it. The Message Bible says, are you tired? worn out, burned out on religion. Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, Jesus says, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Some of you have come to the end of this year and you are exhausted mentally, emotionally, spiritually. You are worn out because maybe you've got discouraged because the word didn't come to pass or the thing you prayed for hasn't happened. Or you've tried to work yourself into righteousness. When God says you're already in right standing with me, it's not something you have to work for. It's something I've already done. But when we do those things, we make rules for ourselves. We can't keep the rules and regulations that is forced on us by religion. Because there's one rule that always has to have another rule that has to have another rule to make up for the rules behind it. So we're all the time trying to make rules to keep covered. But he says, you don't have to do that. Come to me and learn the unforced rhythms of grace. So you've tried to make things happen. You don't know why the breakthrough's not come. You're discouraged because it didn't work out the way you had prayed and believed. And he is saying to you today, lay it all aside. Come to me. When you come to him, you're coming to the one that created you. You're coming to the one that knows all your mess anyway. Don't clean yourself up to come to him. Rest in him. Receive the rest of faith. The rest of faith. That's saying, I don't have to do it. I don't have to bear it. He already did it, and he already bore it. Amen. So sometimes let me find this one word that I was thinking about earlier. The word Jesus uses for rest is refresh or revive as labor from a long journey. This year may have seemed like a long journey to you. Maybe you've been, like I said, working hard to please God and to get what he's already promised. And that word in the New Testament sometimes can mean chains falling off of someone's hands. And sometimes we feel shackled by our own inability when things don't happen because sometimes we think it's our fault. It's maybe that we should have prayed more, we should have believed more, we should have did this and we should have done that. And God is saying, you need to rest in me. You just need to find rest for your weary souls. Amen. So we can enter into rest because the word tells us in Ephesians, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. It is the gift of God. God's rest is a gift to you to learn to rest in him. And I may not know when, I may not know how, but if God said it, and it will come to pass. So in order to soar in 1:4, we have to what? Know that we've been seated with Christ already in heavenly places. Amen. We must know that we're already overcomers in this life right now in spite of how it looks. And then we must keep the right attitude. You know, every day is a good day because I'm alive, I'm well, I know who I am. Hallelujah. I can pick up the phone. I know the numbers I'm dialing. Glory to God. That is a blessing in itself, people. You know, if you work in the field that I've worked in, you know every day you get up and you confess the word of God over your mind, amen, that I have the mind of Christ, that God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but he's giving you a spirit of love and a spirit of a sound mind, amen. That is a blessing in and of itself, keeping a right attitude to soar in 1:4, amen. And the word are, rest, learn to rest in God. You don't have to make it happen because he's already done it. He's already paid the price. Amen. Let's stand. Father, we thank you for your word today. And as we come to the close of the end of this year, Lord, help us, Lord, to go into this new beginning as a new season in you, God. And as the winds of revival are blowing, that we jump in the middle of what you're doing, that we don't hold back and we don't refrain, but we say, yes, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And Lord, I just speak a blessing over every person here today. I come into agreement with them that which you have spoken to them, that dream, that vision, the prophetic word, that it's the season for it to happen.
And Lord, we just stir that expectancy up in us right now to say yes, God, yes to your will, that we live a life of purpose, that we have a life of purpose, and that you're God and that you have not failed us, nor will you ever, 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 ever fail us. And every person that's right now, Lord, under the sound of my voice or in my presence right now, in your presence, God, I just speak a blessing over them that they are the head and they're not the tail. That this is the year, Lord, that they not only soar, but divine favor surrounds them as a shield. We thank you for your blood, Lord, that was shed for us, for our salvation and the stripes that you took for our healing. And I speak healing over these people right now in the name of Jesus, body and soul, to be refreshed and to be revived in your presence, that we live a life of nothing missing and nothing broken because you've made it that way. And this is the season, God, where you're doing some awesome things, and we don't want to be left out of anything of what the church is all about and what you're doing. Thank you for the gifts of the Spirit, Lord, that those are stirred up in us, that we'll be able to speak a word to one in due season that needs that word, God. That we can begin to prophesy our own lives, God, as to what your Spirit is saying. In Jesus' name. And we thank you and we praise you for that today, Lord. Amen, amen. I want to read the Sunday handout again, the word that God has given us. This past year is over. And as we step into the new, be encouraged to know that it's a new season. God is birthing something new in the body of Christ. And a fresh wind of his revival is beginning to blow. We've been through it and now we're over it. It's time to step into the new and embrace what God is doing in the earth now. There have been some that were told you were not going to make it, but you did. And you are here as a living, breathing testimony of the power of God. No longer let it be in your mind you can't when his word says you can. And no longer let it be in your mind you're not when his word says you are. A season of divine timing, a spoken word that has already been spoken by God and has now been delivered to you, to us, for such a time as this. The same word that spoke and called you into existence is the same word that will keep you. God has already spoken it and shall come to pass. For in his kingdom it's already done, and now we shall behold the manifestation of that word. Amen. So dare to believe God. Amen. Get excited about your life and what God is doing. Amen. Be blessed this week. And I want to say the note here that if you want to give a contribution to the church, do so today or by the end of business day, Tuesday. Amen. In order to get a tax deduction for this year, that's the purpose of that. So if you want to bless the church, give it today or by the end of business day, Tuesday. Amen. You all have a blessed day.